at KTR. I'm so happy that you've joined us. I'm so happy that you've joined us. Right here on Kayfabe Talk Radio. I'm on here with Eric the Red and your other host, J.R. Earls. Here we are talking about wrestling.
You are listening to Kayfabe Talk Radio. Kayfabe Talk Radio.
Kayfabe Talk Radio. I am Eric the Red, joined along with, as always,
Mr. Bonesaw. Holy shit! We got a new WWE champion!
Oh, it looks like Eric's not canceling his network subscription after all.
when you think you're out, they pull you right back in.
Hey, you know what? Maybe I should threaten to fucking cancel it every month. Maybe we'll actually get good content.
Yeah, pretty much. That's probably what was happening.
They probably looked at the goofball like me, because everyone knows that even though I'm somewhat intelligent, I have the face of Eli Manning. And they probably looked at me and went, "Nah, we can't lose this guy." Nah, we can't lose him.
he's reliable money. You know?
Yeah. We need that $120 a year.
You know what? Now I actually would want to go to a SmackDown show now.
Yeah. Should I broadcast what's going on?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So even though I won't be there due to personal reasons tomorrow, but the Devils are having a special WWE night for all those that are in Prudential Center. So if you don't know yet, and if you're a fan of the New Jersey Devils, and you know you're a wrestling fan, they're giving away custom-made T-shirts, which look pretty cool. It's a black shirt with a black singlet and a custom New Jersey Devils championship belt that says "Established 1982," and it has the WWE logo at the top, and it's formatted to look like the Intercontinental title, but it has New Jersey Devils logos predominantly all over the belt, and it's a custom-made shirt, and, you know, it looks fucking fantastic, so, but the main thing is, supposedly there's stars that'll be there. I don't know, because they're in the UK right now, and the pay-per-view is supposed to be in fucking Houston, so I kind of really don't understand why they would just come over to the East Coast like that. But whatever, it's WWE for you, and it's all pretty much to promote SmackDown, which will be December 19th in Prudential. And hate to say it, the tickets are not a. It's very, very, very easy to find a ticket. I don't want to say the attendance right now, but it's not looking good. So they're. They got to do everything they could, and I, you know, Jinder was reflecting on that. That's why I was so against. That's why, like, everyone, like, you know, at work and, you know, anyone I talked to was like, "Oh, how come you just can't get on board Jinder?" Despite the fact that he sucks in the ring and he moves around worse than a fucking dead horse, the guy legitimately is not a draw at all. And, you know, and then. Let's try to reflect on this fucking what was it, 6 months of terror here? Like, think about this. This is pretty much the main reason why I couldn't get behind him is the fact that he's a copy and paste heel. They took everything from Del Rio, took everything from JBL, they took some shit from Rusev. And Mitch, by the way, JBL and Del Rio and Rusev were not fucking original characters to begin with. JBL was Stan Hansen and Million Dollar Man put together. Del Rio was JBL and fucking Eddie Guerrero put together.
To be honest, I actually did like JBL. Look, I did like his heel run. I think the problem with him was that he was, in a lot of ways, like you said, he was very generic. A lot of it, too, was his own personality. Like, even with like certain generic heel characters, sometimes their personality can come through, and then you have someone who's sort of fun, so, you know, can do a decent promo or get a good match out of. This fucking guy, nothing. You look at the guy, he goes out, does a stupid fucking I'm the Maharaja promo, and every fucking promo he does, every match he does is such a cookie cutter, not even worth a, you know, fucking backwards, you know, 50 attendance crowd fucking champ. He was such a bad draw that he was turning a show that constantly gets somewhere in the range of a fucking 10 or 20,000 person crowd at, you know, they're filling up arenas for SmackDown. And now, when he became champion, it all suddenly came crashing down. You start seeing an attendance of maybe 5 or 6 thousand people. And the fact was, no one was cheering for this guy. No one was booing this guy. No, nobody gave a fuck. There was no crowd reaction. Any time he got, especially in this match against AJ, he had no crowd reaction. No one fucking booed him when he hit AJ. It was just like, oh, well, he's going to beat AJ, and we're just going to have, you know, it's just going to be business as usual. AJ's going to, you know, get fucking attacked by one of the Singh brothers, and he's going to hit his goofy fucking Ted DiBiase Jr. fucking finisher. And we're just going to have to hear his ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding music. And you know what? Newsflash for WWE, you didn't ever needed to give him the fucking belt. All you needed to do was just go, hey, Cena, you want some more money? Do you want to do the India tour? And you would have had all the fans in India. They're more willing to go and fucking cheer for Cena or fuck anyone else other than Jinder Mahal.
You know what?
Anyone else.
You know how this guy Cena knows how to speak fucking Mandarin? You know what I would have done if I were WWE? I'd be like, alright, Cena, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna fucking put you in a room for 6 months, and you're gonna learn how to speak Punjabi, and then once you're done with that, you're gonna go to the Indian tour, and you're gonna speak Punjabi to these people. And I swear to fucking everyone that I love dearly, that would have been the most successful fucking business venture that they could make in that country. It doesn't matter if, oh, he's one of us. No. He's actually doing what the company's been making this guy do for the past fucking 12 years that he was on top, and that's make him the guy. That's, whatchamacallit? They made him the guy that's fucking, you know, oh, we gotta market to every fucking person that there is. We have to market to every, you know, country that there is. Why else would this guy just all of a sudden learn Mandarin? Why is, supposedly, is he learning other fucking languages?
Because he's doing it to get himself over in as many markets as possible. He's not fucking stupid. To be honest, that's what a lot of these guys should do. That's what Kenny Omega does. He speaks
Japanese.
Japanese and Nippon. He fucking speaks in the native language to get himself over. Yeah, he switches back to English. But that's to keep, you know, both crowds satisfied, because he knows a lot of people from America, North America,
right.
Europe, watch New Japan. But then he speaks to the crowd in Nippon. You gotta do that. You get into this world, in today's crowd, you gotta be as multifaceted as possible. And you know what? I understand what they were trying to do Mahal could have worked, but they pulled the trigger on him being a surefire champion too quickly, and they should have built him up. Not for nothing, if they wanted to do an Indian tour, I think they would have been fine with AJ Styles. The guy's gotten himself over in a fucking Asian market once before. and it would have been fine. You know, you could have had Jinder win the U.S. title or something like that. It would have made more sense for him to go on his tirade of, oh, you think I'm not worthy of this title, this U.S. title, because I'm an Indian man. And that would have made more sense than going, oh, well, I have the world title, and I'm Indian, so I don't deserve the world title. Like, that makes no fucking sense. Like, the U.S. title would have been more like, you know, they probably would have been doing the same shit as they've done with when Rusev was feuding with Cena. But, I mean, still, If you're gonna do the stupid cliche fucking bullshit thing, at least it should make some form of sense. What do you think actually happened? Did you think he got injured or?
I think it might be an injury. I think it's a mixture between an injury, and it's a mixture between Oh, what the fuck? I don't think it's the wellness. I just think it's a mixture of WWE realizing he's not doing well in the States, because let's face it here. Vince, we may say, is a fucking lunatic. He's more of a lunatic than Dean Ambrose. but in fucking reality,
man asylum.
I'm surprised that's not what they call the fucking WWE Universe, the McMahon Asylum. Half the time, I feel like I belong in an asylum after watching some of these shitty shows. But,
WWE at certain points just seems like, you know, like, you ever play Silent Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, basically, yeah, like, WWE is just like the fractured psyche of Vince McMahon. So you just see all, like, the really fucked up things that are part of his, like, his mind, like, come to life.
I challenge anyone to just go into a psychiatrist's office who's a big wrestling fan, or a counselor, and just tell him every single thing that you saw that was horrible on WWE TV from the time you started watching to now. Or even to the time you stopped watching, and then just see their face of, like, what your mental, like, capacity might be, as well as what your what your patience might be, in the sense of, oh, well, you know, even though I keep getting disappointed, I just keep blindly staying into this fucking product.
No, I wouldn't even say it was, like, I wouldn't even say wrestling. I would just say I have dreams about this and this. Like, oh, I have a dream about this man. I have this dream about this man who goes into a coffin and just fucking a dead corpse. I have another dream about this other guy. He's just a big blonde guy, and he, like, grabs this, like, little wimpy guy and starts raping him in the bathroom. I also have another dream about really pissing off some religious guy, and then like a beam of light comes down the ramp of like a arena, and we're supposed to fight, I guess.
And I had a dream that another guy came in and choked out his wife, and then put a pillow over his son, and then choked himself with a Bowflex. I also have.
Oh, that's not part of his psyche. Oh God. No, I mean like the stuff, like the actual stuff that Vince is like okayed. It's like some kind of like weird mental. Because it, like I said, it's like Silent Hill. Like you, everything in WWE is just a part of Vince's fucked up, fractured psyche.
Could you picture Vince McMahon in a psychiatrist's office?
No, I can't. I really can't. It's like it would be like picturing like it's something like it's like picturing like Donald Trump going to anger management. It's not gonna happen. Is that gonna like? I understand what would happen. Like you would get pissed off and just like storm out and like tweet about how anger management is bullshit. Vince McMahon would have the like opposite reaction. He would go in, go, oh, you know, I would make a try to make like a wrestler out of it, and then he would end up like somehow the person would either get really fucked up like mentally to the point where like the psychiatrist would be like a gibbering mess, or either that or Vince would try to turn the guy into a wrestler. Like, yeah, you can be on my one of my shows, you know, you can come in and I'll make you champion. And then the psychiatrist is just a jobber for like the next 2 years.
Or that, or he'll have Pat Patterson go up to him. You want to be a star in this business, kid?
Oh God, I'm actually surprised I didn't make it into the 2K18 game.
I was waiting, not in like a fucking weird way. I'm just saying like I'm with all the shit of like. Oh, I'm gonna make you a referee. I'm gonna make you this. You're, and like the guy saying, I'm not a jobber. I was just waiting for like Pat Patterson. I wasn't waiting for the Pat Patterson gimmick to happen as much as I was waiting for Michael Hayes, since he's in the game, to come out with a fanny pack and a fucking in his Godfather outfit. Just come up to your backstage. All right, kid, you're coming out. You're gonna put over Big Show, and it's gonna be great, kid. And here's how the match is gonna go. You're gonna go for your finish.
Was Bucky Beaver in the game?
Oh, good. Thank God he wasn't. Thank.
You gotta hurry. No, that's the next thing they're gonna do. It's Kevin Dunn like screaming at you in a headset, going, "You gotta hurry up the match. We got the next." Person
no,
coming out.
No, it's terrible because like there's a video of him when NXT was just simply the quote unquote reality show, and he's like telling like what camera like cueing the cameras and like telling people like when to like talk in the ring or talk on the headset, and like he's like fucking going up to the mic. He's like,
Matt Stryker, you're up next. Come on, Matt Stryker, you gotta talk in the mic now. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, cure Hushfoggle.
He's like not aesthetically pleasing to look at, and he's not at all fucking, you know, someone you want to listen to. So. Does he intellectually offer anything? Does he legitimately, like...
No, he's just a glorified director.
Do we really need him on the payroll making more than, like, pretty much 10 to 15...
He makes more than the CEO. He makes more than the CEO and Triple H, who's in control of your developmental... It makes no sense, but apparently that's what the WWE thinks he's such a great asset to the company. Which to be honest makes no sense. He is just a glorified director, and if you look at other companies, they seem less staged. That's the problem with WWE. They need to lose the staging. Understand that the wrestlers can be smart enough to understand time management. It's been beaten to their heads since they were in the fucking indies or in developmental. You have guys that are, you know, basically learn the ropes from guys like fucking Jim Cornette and everybody else in the business, and they've had time management beaten to their fucking heads until it was second nature. And now you got, why do you need this guy who's like screaming in their, you know, ear, oh, you gotta hurry it up? Yeah, they know. They fucking know. You're freaking them out, and that's, to be honest, no one ever thinks about this. You ever think maybe that's why people are getting injured and botching, because they're fucking trying to rush to, like, get their, you know, spots in? Like, usually, you know, like, there's a good amount of time. Like, if you go over by a minute, yeah, that's a problem. But still, you don't want to the guys to rush their fucking spots in. And you're supposed to rush to get every fucking spot in the match. And he's screaming at you to do it. So it's extra pressure that you got to fucking redo the move that you didn't do before. And you're going to get fucking hurt. So, you know, to be honest, he is one of the fucking reasons that there's such an injury epidemic in WWE.
Yeah.
I think he should be fucking gone from WWE. You really don't need a guy like him.
Wait a minute. Oh, before we continue, I'm seeing a clip here from a Facebook group called The Spotlight. And it was during a house show. During, I guess, SmackDown or whatever. And I don't know who Samoa Joe's partners were. But I see a clip where it's The Shield and Kurt Angle against Samoa Joe and whoever else. And you just see Samoa Joe and Angle going at each other. And I just can't help to think to myself, wow, hi TNA 2007. Like, and by the way, like, we didn't even really talk about this, but it is official of all the guys that are on the Survivor Series team, and it's just like, I want the fans to do this ironically. If while Bobby Roode's in the ring, right, and like Samoa Joe and or Kurt Angle come out there to work against Bobby Roode, and you guys don't chant TNA sarcastically, you're doing the whole fan thing wrong.
Pretty much.
You're doing the whole thing wrong if you don't sarcastically chant TNA.
It is TNA. It's been TNA.
Or the better chant, would be RIP TNA. RIP TNA. RIP. I also want to talk about the shit show that was Bound for Glory. I actually did fucking bite the bullet and watched it.
How was that?
Where do I begin? So, one of the main botches I know was that when Abyss, because there was one match, I think it was Abyss versus Grado in a Monster's Ball, and it was what it was, but so Abyss comes out, and the graphic for where the name usually is, where it would say Abyss, it said Alley.
What?
They fucking got the wrong name with the letter A. Now, the next thing was, in that match, you go to count the pinfall, they're at two, and the timekeeper fucks up. And meanwhile, you go to the backstage promos, and I think it was like Eli Drake, or I forgot who was talking, but the audio sounded like it was being recorded through like an fucking 8-bit sound compressor or like an old like tape recorder from like 1974. Like the audio was fucking abysmal for the backstage promos. Del Rio coming out there looking like he was gonna rape fucking Jeremy Borash. Like grabbing his head. And he's just like, "You never gave me a text or so much of a call, Pedro, to ask how I was doing or to talk to me."
Oh, God.
The whole pay-per-view was fucking abysmal. Everything and the matches fell flat. It sucks because you had a lot of promising matches. Like, not for none. I was looking forward to John Morrison against, well, Johnny Impact against Eli Drake. I was looking forward, to a degree, to see the triple threat match between Gail Kim, Sienna, and Allie. And they did the right thing and put Gail over because this is Gail Kim's pretty much last, it might be her last match. So they put her over in a high note. That was nice to see. And then there was another match I was looking forward to. I don't know why I'm blanking. Oh God, what the fuck? This is only 3 days ago when I already forgot most of the shit that happened.
It is Impact.
The LAX versus OVE, Ohio versus everything match for the tag titles. It was a pretty cool street fight. It wasn't too bad. But the big reason why I was looking forward to it was we had the debut of Sami Callihan in Impact.
I don't think he's staying there.
You know what? It was. I just like the whole idea of him coming in with this gimmick, because Ohio versus everything, they're pretty much an indie group from, like, a little of the Northeast, you know, and they have, like, this, pretty much what Callahan's gimmick is, like, these, like, real dark, kind of emo kind of guys who are just very fucking sinister or whatever, but they're baby faces. And, you know, they pretty much fit the Sami Callihan character. And it was just nice to see, you know, him come into a spot with his name. Because as much as I liked him in Lucha, I didn't like the Jeremiah Crane gimmick name for him. He's fucking Sami Callihan. Most of the indie fans, pretty much all indie fans know who the fuck this guy is.
Well, you know what? You can see him at a better pay-per-view with the fucking CCW.
Hey, man, I don't even know how to fucking find this pay-per-view.
The dark webs.
Oh, no. Thanks, asshole. Thanks. Now we're getting the government after us.
No, I'm kidding.
Everyone, kiddos, if you ever listen to this, never, never Google that. Ever.
I Googled it. Nothing bad happened to me.
No, I will never dare to do it.
I'll do it right now.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we gather here today to do a socially announce the the missing of whereabouts of Mr. Bonesaw.
Oh, I'm gonna be like Hangman Page, but like instead of being kidnapped by WWE, I'm gonna be kidnapped by government.
It's the same thing because it's ran by the person who's friends with the other guy.
Oh, oof. God.
It's the same thing.
Oh God, no! You know what? I'm gonna end up in. Remember that. Oh, God, this is kind of a cheap shot, but remember a couple years ago, like about 10 years ago, Family Guy did a joke where Stewie is running around naked and he's screaming, help me, I escaped Kevin Spacey's basement. I never got that joke until now.
God. Oh, fuck. Dude, everyone. What? Oh, that went over everyone's heads. I gotta play this clip. Oh, come on. All right, here we go. I know we're going off tangent, but fuck it.
$10.
$5.
$8 and I'll do it.
Fine.
Help! I've escaped from Kevin Spacey's basement! Help me!
And when you find out Eric laughs like a Pillsbury Doughboy. Oh shit. Okay, now talking about a fucking some more horrible basement garbage. Yeah, Impact. They're losing talent, a lot of talent. Like everyone's like mass exiting. It's like Israel or no, it's Egypt in the frickin', like, you know, the time of Moses. It's a mass exodus happening.
Hey, you know what? You know what? Well, you know what I have to say to that? You could say one or two things. You could either say, oh, yeah, they're getting off the sinking ship. Or you can look at it and go, because this is what I gathered while I was watching Man for Glory. You can gather, okay, the time of this company ever having aspirations being more than an indie fed on television is done. It's over with. It's officially done. There, after I saw referees that have been on the indie scene, and even a kid that fucking I've seen referee in Jersey All Pro like 2 years ago, and like he looks no more than like 19 years old. You know, so, you know, once I saw, like, all this shit, I was just like, yeah, they're an indie company now. And to be even more indie, you don't know this, I caught this right the fuck away. And here's the main reason why because everyone's like, oh, how could you have watched the pay-per-view? Here's why. I was interested to see what they were going to do with the championship belts. Now, I know, it's a silly reason why to watch a pay-per-view, but when you go through the motions of, we gotta make everything global for us, to, Jeff Jarrett's in rehab, now we have to take the name away. And you look and you go, okay, so what are they gonna do with these belts? What are they gonna do with these championship belts? Are they gonna get new ones? Are they gonna do... No, you know what they did? They took a Global Force championship belt for the women's title, for the tag titles, and the world title, and they printed out Impact stickers and pasted them over everything that said Global Force. Instead of calling it the Impact world title, it's called the Impact Global title. Why, you may ask? Oh, simple, because their little network there that they're promoting on the ring apron called Global Wrestling Network, they have to keep the name, since they just worked their asses off to fucking put the network together. So with that, they're like, well, we gotta use the word global anyway, we just can't use the word force right after the word global.
Wow. Oh my god. That's so bad.
This was from a company. And you know what, though? To quote Ric Flair, and I say this totally sarcastically, and I say this not in, like, a proud way. I say this in a very, very, very depressing way. To quote 1992 Ric Flair, I watched this with a tear in my eye! Just for the simple idea of, this was a company that I was so tired of WWE's bullshit back in 2007, 2008, 2009, with Santino and Hornswoggle, and just the pure pussification of a product that I once loved, to now, you know, what it, you know, to, you know, the idea with TNA back in the day, where it was like, oh, you got LAX, the original LAX, and you got beer money coming in, and you got fucking the TNA knockouts, and you got AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle all killing it and fucking tremendous matches, and you have the nostalgia and Sting coming in having great matches to... we can't afford all you guys, even the referees, so, yeah, bye, Earl Hebner. You've only been here 11 years, but, you know, bye. You've only been here for, like, the majority of the fucking company. Yeah, we can't afford to keep you anymore. When you can't afford to keep Earl Hebner, how the fuck are you expecting top talent to look at your product and go, yeah, I'll sign with them?
I mean, but the majority of... I don't understand how anybody wants to stay there. Like, you have a lot of top talent. Guys that can go get over other places, be champions elsewhere.
You know what,
the only real person that I think, you know, is kind of saddled with them is Del Rio. Because he's kind of done everywhere, unless he just goes back to Mexico. And I think even then, I think he could probably make a go of it if he went back to Mexico and wrestled there. Everyone else, Rosemary can leave, Gail Kim, Gail Kim could go anywhere in the fucking world. She's one of the best female wrestlers ever.
I want her. You know what? I know she has a fucking bitter taste in her mouth from WWE. I mean, a lot of people do, but I'm one of those people that feel like everyone should eventually receive a Hall of Fame ring. For the most part, anyone that has done decent enough, if you were beneficial to the company in some sort of way, you really should have gotten that ring. So I do think eventually I would like to see her. If she wants to have a run, that's fine. But maybe, you know, maybe do it just to get a ring. I don't know. But I don't know.
Like how Mickey James is doing.
Yeah, like she's putting in more work. Well, you know what though, Mickey doesn't need to be around. In the sense of, are we happy she's around? Of fucking course. But she doesn't need the credentials. And the reason why she don't need to add more shit to her resume is because her six-time champion alone, that's enough right there to say, okay, yeah, Hall of Famer. Gail Kim did not do enough yet in WWE. She really didn't. Her career in WWE was, she came in 2004, I think in like a battle royal, whatever. On her first night there, won the women's title, left quicker than a hiccup, good old JR line, and then came back in like 2010 for like a few months, and then that was it. Her entire like run put together was like not even a year.
I don't know. Sometimes it's... I don't know. With the WWE Hall of Fame, I kind of... At a certain point, it doesn't really mean anything. If they put all those people in the fucking Hall of Fame, They put people that don't even deserve it in the fucking Hall of Fame. At a certain point...
Real quick, I'll expand. I'll be right back. Say something while I'm gone.
Well, you know, in America, you know, we've got people called Eric, and Eric is, he's a little slow. He doesn't have good personal hygiene. He looks like Blake Griffin with really bad Down syndrome. It's fine. You know, he's a pretty decent person all in all. He's not too bright. And you know who else is not too bright? Earls.
What about Earls?
Oh, nothing, Bubby, nothing.
You know I could go back and listen to this audio later, right?
Whoopsies.
Alright, what's the marker for this? Let's see here. Let's see. You were talking at 40 minutes and 35 seconds? Alright.
Scumbag. I fucking hate the fact you... Well, I mean, you can listen to the whole thing. Sometimes I do.
I kind of have to make sure, like, you know, at least the editing and all that is for everyone that listens on like iTunes or whatever. You're gonna get a better version of this show than you would on the YouTube stream, because we really don't go in and edit it that much on YouTube.
Yeah, break kayfabe there and tell the people that are listening on YouTube that they're getting an inferior product.
No, you're getting the fucking live feed. That's what you're getting. You're getting a lot. You're getting it. Yeah, raw!
Thanks, Vince.
God damn it. So let's look at this fucking, before we do look at the synopsis here, yeah, the Hall of Fame, it depends on the situation. I guess it depends that
at a certain point, what I'm saying is, I think they've given it to too many people that didn't deserve it, and at a certain point, I think the Hall of Fame has kind of been diluted. I mean, it's a big deal, you know, it's always nice to see the speech, but Who really gives a fuck about the WWE Hall of Fame? It doesn't have a... How many wrestlers were never wrestled in WWE or never had anything to do with WWE and had full careers and did other stuff? You're talking about an entire generation of wrestlers that wrestled before WWE. It's not like, you know, you have the Baseball Hall of Fame and the NFL Hall of Fame and... WWE is not the NFL, and WWE isn't the MLB, and WWE isn't the NBA. They're not the whole fucking, you know, work sport of wrestling, you know?
Oh, well, no, I'm sorry, go ahead.
They're not the entire sport. Honestly, if... to be honest... I would rather a Hall of Fame that is more picked by different people from different companies and is an all-general purpose Hall of Fame. Something you can actually visit. Something that's not just a fucking, you know, dilapidated office that, you know, Vince McMahon decided, oh, that's going to be a Hall of Fame.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Okay, my dad's good friend for a long time, John Pantozzi, has always been one of the officials in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Why can't, like, all these indie companies and Ring of Honor and Japan promote it? Like, why not just promote it and be like, you know what, guys, look, yes, you want to go to WWE, yes, you could be exclusively in their Hall of Fame. But you know what? It's not... You can achieve greatness outside of the WWE. And you know what that means, everybody? If you want a Hall of Fame ring down the line, you could be in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame that recognizes everybody from WWE to outside WWE. People that never stepped foot in WWE. The people in the 60s and 50s and 40s that... Never came close to Toots Mont, or once Vince Sr. got in, never, for what, however reason, never really crossed paths. Like, let's be honest here. One of my favorites that I never got to see live wrestle. Well, not live in, like, the sense of, like, physically being there. I mean, live, like, I'm alive and he's alive and I'm watching him on television. It was Bruiser Brody. Bruiser Brody, I don't think will ever be in the WWE Hall of Fame. You know what? He's in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, to my knowledge. That's fine. That's fine. I just think, push the pro... Hey, really. Hashtag push the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. I generally, and I'm not just saying it because, you know, one of my dad's friends have been affiliated with them. I've been saying this for years. Fucking highlight that Hall of Fame because there's a little bit more credibility to it. Vince McMahon Jr. is in that Hall of Fame. But yet, he's not in his own Hall of Fame. You know, it's the Hall of WWE, it's like, okay, what wrestling Hall of Fame would you look at more seriously? One that has guys like Gorgeous George and Pat O'Connor in it? And fucking, like, I don't know, Bruiser Brody and all of the fucking Von Erichs and the Hart Foundation and, you know, so much and so forth? Or one that has fucking Drew Carey in it? So I guess I see your point. But I always come from a place of like, oh, I want him in the WWE Hall of Fame. I want to take the WWE Hall of Fame seriously. That's really all it is. Optimism I know could bring you so far, but I just would love the WWE Hall of Fame to mean something.
And the fact that it doesn't bother me. Other than the speeches and the... I really... Whenever someone says WWE Hall of Fame, I always just think, oh, like, here's just one racist joke away from being taken away from you, so... Unless you're dead. And if you're dead, you're fine. They'll put you in the Hall of Fame regardless, unless you were fucking the son of the owner.
Yeah.
The son-in-law of the owner, I mean. So, when it comes down to it, it's like WWE has this weird fucking rules and things that you have to do and things you have to say and what they consider to be Hall of Fame worthy. And I think it's stupid. I think, you know, if you're worthy enough, if you've done stuff in the wrestling business, regardless over the course of your careers, and, you know, you've been a big deal out in the indies, in the territories, in the fucking, you know, in WWE and WCW and TNA and in Japan, you know, it shouldn't matter. It should be a worldwide thing. You know, you have these guys, different people go and say, look, I saw this match, this and this. He was champion here, here, and here. He should be in the Hall of Fame. That should be it. And it shouldn't be fucking bunch of celebrities. We shouldn't have fucking Donald Trump in a wrestling Hall of Fame. You know?
You know who I think... But you know what, though? The celebrity thing, honestly, I'm fine with for a few people. Like, I'm going to pull up right now the WWE Hall of Fame celebrity wing. And I'm going to honestly give my description of people that I feel like do belong in there. Because there are a few. Okay, let's see. WWE Celebrity Hall of Fame. Okay. Boom, boom, boom. All right, WWE Celebrity Wing. Okay, Celebrity Wing. All right. Sorry, I'm going to go through this list, and I want you to... You know, if you feel like none of them belong, that's fine. But, all right. So, let's see. We got 2004 Pete Rose.
No.
It was cool to see Kane pile drive him and choke slam him for a couple years in a row, but no, I agree, no. The Refrigerator, William Perry.
No.
He competed in the Battle Royal once, no. Bob Uecker.
No.
I liked Get Your Foot Off My Shoulder, but yeah. I've already mentioned him. We already know. Drew Carey.
No.
Mike Tyson.
I'd say yes.
I will go with yes. Donald Trump, some people will say yeah, because of the WrestleMania thing, him doing the angle with Raw that he bought Raw out, and the Battle of the Billionaires is the main highlight career thing for him in WWE. I don't know. As much as I don't like the guy and his political fucking views, because he has none, and he's a fucking moron. WWE Hall of Fame, I'm indifferent with. Would I rather him not be? Of course, but am I mad that he's in there? I feel like he did more than just come in for one time. All right, Mr. T.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Wrestled. Yes, exactly. And the other two, for me, I'm going to automatically say, honestly, no. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. I mean, I like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't think he really ever wrestled.
I'm not making this a thing of, oh, we don't like him, so we don't want him here. No, we're going by what they actually did in pro wrestling. And he did not do that much. Snoop Dogg. No. I love Snoop, but no.
You know who actually should be in here? And you're probably going to agree with me. Lawrence fucking Taylor.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised he's not in there. But you know what? One of the podcasts I listen to religiously every Monday, Don Tony and Kevin Castle's show, they mentioned on Monday that one guy that should be in the Hall of Fame, Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's... okay, he wasn't in WWE. Fine, doesn't matter. You put Abdullah the Butcher in there, where's his WWE matches? Andy Kaufman should definitely be in the fucking Wrestling Hall of Fame. He was the first celebrity to start the crossover. So, if, you know, and if there's any other celebrity you think that should be in there, who is it? You know, Kaufman, like I said, is the main one. Muhammad Ali, I don't know.
Mayweather, actually. Mayweather. He had that match against Big Show.
As much as I don't like him, yeah, I gotta agree. Yeah, I do gotta agree. But here's the problem. Here's why we gotta be careful here. You can't really say, oh yeah, they had a wrestling match, therefore they should be in the Hall of Fame, because that would mean Snooki would eventually have to be.
Oh, God. No, I mean like an actual classic match.
Like, yeah, not
he was involved in a classic match.
If you the match, okay, yeah, I'll give it credit. The match itself was good. It's just, I don't know, I just don't like the guy. I know I'm sounding biased here. I just don't. But, you know, I gotta be fair. He should be in before fucking Drew Carey and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Snoop. You know, I mean, like, I'm trying to think. Who else was a celebrity that actually did shit in WWE? You can't say Stephen Amell. I know Stephen Amell did a match. But he didn't really do enough in WWE. But
speaking of Stephen Amell,
you like my segue, don't you?
Yep. he's gonna be at the Houston?
San Antonio,
San Antonio Ring of Honor taping.
Which is the same exact day as NXT San Antonio, where they're doing Shawn Michaels as a special referee. So, you know, it's a thing where they're doing shows the same night, but it's, you know, now thinking about it, it's, do you want to see Drew McIntyre against Adam Cole with Shawn as the referee, which, let's be honest, they could do that match anytime on television. Or do you want to see Kenny Omega live and also Stephen Amell, if you're an Arrow fan? I mean, personally, if I lived in that area, I would go for the Ring of Honor show. That's just me personally. But, you know, hey, I'm totally cool with Stephen Amell doing shit with Ring of Honor. It will be enough publicity. And also, too, it's smart because for those people that get Ring of Honor on their actual TV and not on, like, the Fight app or whatever, you get Ring of Honor on the CW network. If you live in a certain area in, like, you know, like, down, like, towards, like, the Texas area or even, you know, like, New Mexico or pretty much a good part of the South and, like, a little toward, like, the Middle East Coast or whatever, I guess you could say, like, the Baltimore area and all that shit, you get Ring of Honor TV on the CW, so, it's a little smarter to do that than, you know, bring them into WWE when they did. And plus, obviously, we know it's because him and Cody are fucking really good friends.
Yeah. I mean, Cody... You ever think Kenny Omega will be on Arrow at some point?
Do you know...
Just as, like, a random character?
Really? Really? Huh? I'm not saying no. I'm not saying no at all. I'm like, you know that's gonna happen.
But, it'll end up being like some kind of like
it's fucking gonna be fucking phenomenal. It's gonna be phenomenal that you know, just Kenny coming out there and doing a Japan promo. He's like, I am now a movie star. I am now an actor. I was on the Arrow show, and I was such a tremendous villain that they gave me a role in the Justice League 2. You can see that promo coming a mile away.
Oh, yeah, that would be fantastic.
And all you pieces of shit still don't want to give me the IWGP Championship. But you want to push Los Ingobernables de Hawthorne. Oh, man. Did you see his...
What's
did
his
you
name?
See...
Anito?
Did you see his...
Anapo?
Did you see his promo? The press conference promo he did? Where he's...
What, he's, in his 2000...
This week. This week.
No, I didn't see it.
The audio is a little long. I don't know if you want me to play the audio. The audio, I think, is like 4 minutes or whatever. I don't know if you want me to play it.
Play a clip of it. Not the whole thing, but like the juicy parts, if you can.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, this week. I love how the first thing I write with Kenny Omega interview is Kenny Omega on Talk is Jericho from last year. Oh my god. What a way to break kayfabe. Okay, let's see here. I got the audio coming. But what?
What are your thoughts on the match?
What are your thoughts first off?
I came a little. I was just like,
cause you're going with feathers. You want to know my reaction?
Pete's a stupid idiot.
You said it. He'll put you in the fucking chicken wing. here's my immediate thought once I saw the promo that was official for Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay, it's happening. Everybody, stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone?
Ha 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 ha! my god. I honestly did not think this is going to happen at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I know. My god, like, Kenny Omega and Jericho is happening in Japan. You got Kota Ibushi coming against Cody Rhodes for the Ring of Honor title. Fucking Triple H shows up in an ICW show. Pete Dunne comes out on Raw and beats the fuck out of Enzo. AJ fucking beats Jinder Mahal for the belt. Like, what a fucking good weekend in wrestling.
Right?
Just, what a good weekend. I, you know what? It's like, you know what it is, man? It's, you know what this weekend is? This weekend in wrestling, it's like, okay, it's like a football team, for instance. It's, or even any sports team, for that matter. It's like, okay, the reason why I use football is because it's, you know, we're in the fucking fall, almost winter now, but, it's like a football team, where you may not have the best team. You may not have the best team, but when you get a good week out of your team, you're like, all right, what a fucking good week.
Again, not the Giants.
Again, now, you know what? I know you're going to call me a turtle all you want, and fuck you, I don't care, but I'm glad I made the conscious decision in 2001 as a little child that my second team will be the Rams. The Giants ever fuck up, I'm going to root for the Rams. Does that mean right now I'm going to go Rams, go? No, I want to see if the Giants could pull something out of their asses. But when it comes time to the playoff season, yeah, Rams are in there, fuck yeah, go Rams.
Traitor.
Anyway, let's play the clip from Kenny Omega.
I am the greatest wrestler on the planet, and in fact, I'm the top worldwide draw. This isn't me blowing smoke up your ass. This isn't me even bragging. These are facts. And when stuff like this happens, people, superstars, megastars, legends like Chris Jericho come to us. And now for the first time in God knows how long, we have a special guest from the big leagues coming to challenge New Japan Pro Wrestling. There was always this image that we were the minors. There was always this image that we were only big in Japan. And now, Kenny Omega, the cleaner, your god of pro wrestling, will take you to a new height. I will show you what pro wrestling can really be like. I will bring about this change, and I am going to do it while representing your U.S. Championship belt. Maybe perhaps WWE isn't all that interesting. Maybe perhaps WWE isn't that cool. I had a new dream. My dream was to be a star here. There's a ceiling here. You can only get so famous. Pro wrestling can only get so popular. My dream is to break that ceiling. It always has been. I wanted to do that with DDT. We broke through that ceiling. Watch me show everyone just how good we are. We've become the cool thing. People now are copying us. People are searching for us. I never asked for Chris Jericho to come here. Chris Jericho came to me. He understands that I'm the best, that I'm the one moving tickets, that I'm the one that makes headlines. He's a smart man. Always was, always has been. This is my own legacy. And it starts right now.
Thing starts now. I'm gonna scour the planet. You're gonna see legendary defenses.
Just for this fight against Chris Jericho.
Yep.
Are you going as WWE in your mind when you're fighting against them in January 4th?
No. WWE in general. You can quote me on this. I don't care. Everyone there is so below me. No one can put together a performance like me from there. anyone that's copying anyone is copying me. I'm the trend right now. I don't need to search anyone as an opponent. I don't need to feel the need to take on anyone from there to prove anything. So Chris Jericho coming to me, it truly is the best of both worlds clashing.
So I want that to be a little bit of a rumor killer for one that's going, duh, Kenny's going to WWE in 2 months.
No. I don't see it.
There's actual people that were out there going, yeah, you know what's going to happen, right? So Jericho's going to beat Kenny Omega, and then Kenny Omega is going to sign with WWE and eliminate Jericho from the Rumble, and then he's going to get his revenge at WrestleMania and beat Jericho at WrestleMania.
They wouldn't be doing that. To have Jericho come in and have this, like, elongated, you know, feud between them, starring in Japan. Especially since they... Why would he sign with WWE when they took away the Too Sweet? They cease and desist his friends.
Yep.
And why would he go out of his way to, like, fucking join them when they've been, like, fucking dicking him and his friends over? And the fact that, you know, Cody came in, and now Cody can probably tell him, like, the horror stories of, like, hey, look, I was a popular talent. I was somebody that, you know, could have gotten over and had fan support, and they dicked me over and put me in fucking silver face paint and made me dance around like a fucking clown. So do you want to go and do that? Do you still want to be called Kenny Omega, or do you want to be called Gerald O'Malley, or whatever the fuck Vince thinks is funny at the time? I know. Do you want to be a legitimate champion, or do you want a belt that's been thrown around like a fucking ragdoll to every other fucking person, and hasn't had a stable champion for more than 3 months since, like, going back to, like, fucking CM Punk?
Yeah, I mean, like right now. I stand by this when I say this, and I don't mean in the sense of, oh, he's gonna walk away. I mean it in the sense of what he was in 2011, CM Punk. Kenny Omega right now is what CM Punk was in 2011. I'm the top of the game. Not many people could touch me. Quite frankly, even though I'm a big Punk fan, Kenny Omega is a better fucking talent overall. He's fluid. He's fucking more versatile in the ring. He's not sloppy at all. His shit's very fucking tight. His promos are fucking charismatic. He has a little bit of a better package. And the Bullet Club thing is a fucking hot ticket.
I think overall, there's no reason for him to go to WWE.
There isn't.
He's not at the end of his career. He's not, you know, looking for, like, the money from the video games, the money from all the, you know, different bullshit merchandise. He is still young. He still hasn't gotten the IWGP belt. He's still trying to prove himself as the top guy in Japan. Maybe when, you know, like 10 years from now, when he's like 40 and he's like thinking about, you know, going, you know, doing stuff outside of Japan, or the Bullet Club is no longer, you know, around. Because eventually, as much as, you know, people are gonna go, no, it's gonna be around forever. It's not. No stable stays around forever. Maybe 10 years from now, if WWE, who knows, WWE might not be together. Who knows? You know, no, nobody knows you know, these bigger bigger corporations have been bigger titans of industry, and they've fallen. So we don't know what wrestling, you know, people are gonna, what trends are gonna pick up in wrestling. We don't know what could happen. You know, WWE might be a fucking another TNA where they, you know, Vince dies and, you know, different people trying to manage the company and it fucking flounders. Who knows? But for the most part, I don't see Kenny Omega leaving Japan. I think he likes it there. I think that's his home. I think he's been, you know, he's had a stable career there. I don't think anyone in Japan has dicked him over to the point where he feels like he needs to leave. And I don't think he's actively trying to, you know, leave, you know, and make a lot more money, because the guy makes decent money.
You know what would drive him to leave? If the company was stubborn in their minds and just can't see the expansion part. They just want to stick to being just regional to Japan and that's it. Then I could have seen Kenny going, all right, you know, whatever. You guys don't see the bigger picture here. Then yes, yeah, then I could have seen it. But they're getting the whole U.S. thing. Their goal right now, New Japan's goal right now, is to sell out the Tokyo Dome. That's their goal for Wrestle Kingdom 12. And that's why a Jericho Omega match is brilliant, because it's going to give people the incentive that would travel to WrestleMania normally to go, you know what, I'm a diehard wrestling fan enough to where I'm willing to travel to Japan. I'm willing to go over.
We're also seeing things like, in the past couple of years, we've seen a lot of, and Japan's usually, and Japan has been for a very long time, has been more of a Japanese-centric company. I mean, you've had American, European champions sprinkled, you know, within the company, but not as, like, now it's, you've had a lot of fucking gaijin, you know, white or outside, you know, not Japanese wrestlers, you know, winning championships in New Japan. You know, Kenny Omega is their fucking, you know, first ever U.S. champion. You know, it's...
Yeah.
And he's been champion for a while. For, like, you know, like, they don't, like, and this is the thing that we've mentioned. They don't dick around with their championships. You know, you're champion, you're going to be champion for a while, unless you're, like, you're a transitional champion, and then you have maybe for like a few months, but they give their champions like 6 months or a year or several years of to keep onto that belt and have it mean something and have it be prestigious. You know, that's the difference between there and you know, WWE, you know you're the top guy when they're giving you a belt that has been held by so many different guys. It's been held by Andre and Hulk and Antonio Inoki, and you know, it matters so much more because you are the top guy in the company. You're the ace. You are the guy that everybody's going to sell merchandise for in Japan when you actually hold that belt. In WWE, look at how many guys have held the WWE Championship in the past couple of years, and nothing. It hasn't helped Bray Wyatt. It hasn't helped Dean Ambrose. It hasn't helped Seth Rollins. And sure as fuck didn't help Jinder Mahal.
I'm actually looking, by the way. Andre nor Hogan actually did win the belt.
I thought they did.
No, it was, pretty much, it was, Inoki was the first champion in 87, and then Tatsumi Fujinami had won it twice. It was vacated. Vader had won it. Here's the Gaijin that pretty much won this title consists of Vader, All right, Vader, Scott Norton. Scott Norton again. Bob Sapp.
I could have swore Hogan.
No, it's not. It's a small list. It's pretty much Vader, Scott Norton, Bob Sapp, Brock Lesnar, and AJ Styles.
Ah, really? Okay.
Yeah. So it's you know what? Hey, you know what? Though, doesn't that mean a little more? Doesn't that mean a little more that? Because you know what it is, man? You know what you might think? Don't know if the G1, I think Hogan has won, or Andre.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they've won the G1, to my understanding.
That actually means even more, considering the fact that it's so prestigious that guys like them didn't even win it.
Hey, man, you know, Benoit has even won the fucking Best of the Super Juniors.
Yeah,
let's see. Yeah, here you go. Yeah, 1982, Andre the Giant. It was called a different thing, though. It was called World League, MSG League, International Wrestling Grand Prix, and then in 91 it was called the G1. But we could just call it the G1. So, you know, you had Andre and Hogan went back years back-to-back. 82, Andre. 83, Hogan. Andre won again in 85. I think the next Gaijin that would win the, wow, yeah, holy shit, the next Gaijin that would win the G1 after Andre the Giant was Kenny Omega. Yeah, it was everyone, yeah, Chono was pretty much, Inoki won for 3 years straight, then Ricky Choshu, Chono won for 2 years, Fujinami, Chono again, Muto, Kaiji Muto, who is the great Muta, Ricky Choshu, you know, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, the last guy that was, so it was only three guys ever that are not Japanese that won the G1. And that's Hogan, Andre, and Kenny Omega.
Shit.
So, not for nothing. I mean, Kenny Omega be on the same list as those two guys for a fucking Japan's biggest tournament? Yeah, that's a little. That means a little more. And you know what? If I were Kenny, I would have put that in his promos.
Yeah.
And if I also, too, here's another thing he could fucking add. Go, he could come out after he beats, because you know he's going to probably beat Jericho, and just come out and go, I beat the guy who beat Rock and Austin in the same night, which means I would have done the same exact thing.
Oh, God, that would be a fantastic match. That would have been a fantastic fucking match.
What?
I mean, that still beating could fucking Rock happen. And Austin? I mean, not with Austin, but I mean with The Rock.
Oh, yeah, Kenny and The Rock. Oh, yeah. You know what, Match? You know what, The Rock was asked recently who was someone he would like to wrestle. And, he listed it being Triple H, The Rock, and Roman Reigns. Either one to be his last match. And people were actually chanting for AJ Styles.
Shit, yeah.
You know, if we never get Rock against Kenny Omega, you know, I'm fine with AJ. You know, he's one of the best in the world right now. All right.
This is why I wish you could do, you could do interpromotional stuff. Because the match, one match that I think everybody would fucking love. If you could take all three leaders of the Bullet Club, have them face off the trip.
Yeah.
Tell me that wouldn't be a fucking... That would be insane. Kenny, Kenny versus Finn and AJ.
And why not add Cody in there?
Cody isn't the leader of the Bullet Club, though.
I'd say he's kind of second in line.
Yeah.
He is.
True.
He's
I don't think
right behind
unless
me.
They kick AJ unless they kick Kenny out. I don't see him.
That's true.
I mean, he's he's more like how Adam Cole was. Like he's the second in command, but he's more of the leader for the Western the Ring of Honor faction.
Oh well, yeah. When it comes to Japan, Kenny's top dog. Even when he comes to the United States, Kenny's top dog. But when Kenny's not around, and you got a card with Skrull, the Bucks, Hangman, and Cody, Cody's obviously the fucking head guy. He's the interim leader.
Yeah.
He's more of the underboss than fucking Fale.
yeah, true.
Cody's more of the underboss. Yeah, so you got CZW Night of Infamy on the on here. I really want to try to see that match, Callahan against Jimmy Jacobs.
Do you know the other two guys?
You know, Shane Strickland is Killshot from Lucha Underground.
Oh shit, really?
Huh. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Fucking tremendous talent. Joe Gacy, I honestly never heard of him. But, you know, I do know one thing. And we got to actually mention this about CZW. I'm glad you did bring them up, kind of. Joe Gacy, I never really heard of, but I'm sure if he's in a promotion like Jersey All Pro, CZW, I'd imagine him being really fucking good. Oh, okay, I'm looking at a picture. Yeah, okay, I have seen this guy. The name just didn't ring a bell. But, all right, yeah, so CZW apparently has now distribution in China.
Oh, wow, really? Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're...
I would think that they would be censored there because of all the blood and shit.
You would think, but you know what? DJ Hyde is now making a goal now to, I'll send you the link. DJ Hyde now has a plan to, pretty much make CZW more family-friendly, which is why China is interested.
Hmm.
Here, let's see, I'll send you... I just sent it to you over on a messenger. Yeah, I'll read the article real quick. Let's see here. CZW is the only major wrestling American promotion other than WWE to enter into the Chinese wrestling video market. New matches will be posted weekly on their service, translated in Mandarin by the Shuai... I'm fucking sorry. Shuaizhou Wang team for the Chinese audience. This aims to stop rampant piracy of CZW in China on various platforms, making the Shuaizhou the exclusive official distributor of CZW in China. China's Middle Kingdom Wrestling is working with CZW management to possibly arrange for CW talent to perform in front of a live audience. This is creating shockwaves within the pro wrestling industry in China. Much more to come on this huge announcement from CZW. CZW, headquartered in the United States, provides monthly events in Jersey and additional events throughout the United States and abroad, including England, Germany, Japan, and Canada. CZW talent is recognized worldwide and has had recent roster members seen regularly on programming for WWE, Impact Wrestling, and Lucha Underground, and more. I mean, and no, not for nothing, I will say this. You know, I may have been to so many Jersey All Pro shows, but towards that 2008 to 12 or so area, and even now, CZW helped them out a lot. It was the only way you were able to get guys like John Moxley and Luke Harper, well, Brody Lee and Sammy Callahan in that company was because of the partnership that they had with DJ Hyde and CZW.
Hmm. That's actually, I mean, you see how, like, smaller indies are starting to step up and, like, make smart decisions. And then you see companies that were on par with WWE starting to, like, fall apart completely.
Like, let's think of this for a second here. WWE is acknowledging the decline that they're having to where they're thinking to themselves, we gotta do shit to step up a little bit here. We're still a big game, but we gotta step up a little bit here. Impact is fucking falling. But Ring of Honor's doing sellouts. And sure, it's, you know, not big venues. They're, you know, no more than 2,000 seaters. They're sellouts. CZW's doing distribution in China. You know, indie wrestling's starting to pick up a little bit more. There is a little bit more of an indie boom coming.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have New Japan. New Japan's building their market up in North America. You have Ring of Honor starting to do, you know, a lot more. They're building their brand. They have a lot of huge events, you know, and they have their joint promotion with New Japan, which is helping them both expand in both markets. You have House of Hardcore is doing smart stuff with, you said they're on Twitch, right?
Yeah. They will, you know, which kind of is a problem, and I'll explain why. It's good that they're gonna do a live feed, which I'm assuming is gonna be free, because I don't think Twitch has, like, paid subscriptions or whatever.
No.
So it's gonna be free. But here's the problem with some people. For those that don't know that own Oroku, I have unfortunate news for you. But I found out myself that a few days ago, Roku dropped. Well, Twitch dropped the Roku app. So the Twitch app is no longer on the Roku. So your best bet now is if you have a game system that has the app, like a PS4, Xbox One, or an Xbox One X, computer. Yeah. So, yeah, there's ways of finding Twitch, but, you know, it's fucking smart to do something like that. And it's smart on Twitch's part, too, because think about it. I'm sure the people that run that, you know, that run that program, that run the Twitch website, or think to themselves, we would like to do more than just video games. I'm sure they would like to branch out a little bit. I mean, fuck, you got YouTube now doing YouTube TV and have YouTube Red, so where they have, even though they have their shitty movies, they have fucking movies on there now that you could fucking rent or buy or whatever. So, there is expansions, and Twitch is pretty smart for wanting to invest in a product that, you know, House of Hardcore, it's not a lame indie. Not the least. Tommy Dreamer has a working relationship with Ring of Honor, with TNA, with WWE. He has a relationship with all of these people, to where he could bring some of these people in.
See, this is what's, like, I honestly think, in the long run, all these companies merging together, not like merging together, like to make a bigger company. I mean, them having like a territory, you know, like how the territories were, where I have this one guy, I'll send him over here, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, yeah.
These joint confederation of different indies and New Japan are, to like separate, they're nothing, but if they merge their talent pool together, and, you know, overall are able to, you know, work together and share their different guys over and have these great matches. What does WWE have? Really?
I will say the one thing Impact has going for them right now, the only thing they have going for them, is their partnership with AAA and NOAH. Though I do think it's them blatantly copying what Ring of Honor is doing with New Japan and CMLL. But regardless, it's still better than what WWE is doing, which is nothing.
To be honest, with NWA, with that coming back, I would be hard-pressed to just say, I would try to be the middleman and say, hey, do you guys want to just, you know, all partner up?
Well, I can't say WWE's not doing it. Their closest thing is
their partnership
working
with Evolve, right?
Not kind of. I don't think they had in a partnership with Evolve, but I don't see much anymore with it. If anything, they have more with Progress and ICW. I mean, they gave them Finn Balor to come out there. And then they had just Triple H out there the other night. So, yeah, they have a little bit of a working relationship going on with the UK indies. It's not to the extent of, oh, let's have them wrestle in the ring. It's pretty much, hey, let them show up for a cameo and do a promo. So it's not really much of an extension, and trust me, you're not going to see a lot of ICW's guys or Progress's talent in WWE. So yeah, it's not really that as much as it is just, hey, let's get ICW some publicity by giving them Triple H to come out and talk to them. So, but you know, I mean, another news though, WWE is trying to do a virtual reality service here.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear
that
what you
say. That is actually pretty smart. I'll give it to you. I think it's Triple H that's trying to push this. Which, obviously, Triple H is the one with the good ideas. Apparently, it's supposed to be, like, during pay-per-views, you get a virtual reality, you know, experience where you feel like you're at ringside.
You know what? I will say one thing. Well, first, two things. One, this is the stupid side of me talking. I would like the virtual reality. I would virtual reality where I can wrestle in the ring, not sit at front row. But if we're gonna go with front row, let me have a virtual reality of the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. So, just so I could say, hey, you know what? I saved my money. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, to be honest, it would be a kind of a smart idea of people that aren't going and, you know...
Just as long as it doesn't cost, like, a third of a fucking, of a car payment.
Apparently what I was reading, it was supposed to be another, like, extra, like, for the capability to do it. I think it was supposed to be like another like $5-$10.
So where would you access this? Like at one of their events?
From what I'm hearing, it would be a special package that would be added to the network. So you would hook up like an Oculus Rift or something, and then you'd be able to like be at ringside and watch the match.
Oh, so you could do it at home?
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah! I don't know why when I read this article I was thinking that you had to be like at their house shows or you had to be at the actual arena to do this, which would have been stupid to sit there with a headset on and the fucking in goggles and you know, oh, your time's up, it's time to let other people do it, or oh, the show's about to actually start. So no, you know what, man? That's pretty cool. At that rate, I would probably consider getting Oculus fucking things. You know,
Triple H was saying like, okay, and his quote was, "Everybody wants to be there live and in person, and if it's WrestleMania, you can put on a headset on and whatever the device is at the time, and you can actually put yourself in the front row, sitting there, and experience it.
I'm fine with that. Point.
He's got a point, you know? Who wouldn't want to be at ringside to watch a match? And I mean, you can use it for wrestling games. You can use that for different things. But how fucking awesome would that be to just feel like you're in the front row and be able to like look around and see different, you know, like see everything in the area, like from that point of view. But the problem is, and they said they're going to do more research into it. They're going to need a lot more cameras to be able to, like, have that, you know. Unless it's all, you know, one joint camera and, you know, they have it from that one angle, you know. But, you know, how do they... For like, the virtual reality, you know, like, to have that... You're going to have, like, some kind of, like, specialized camera, and they would have to be able to, like... You know, when you're in virtual reality, you're able to, like, move around in real time. So how would they be able to, you know, accomplish that? Unless they have a stabilized view and you can just move around at whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't want it to be a thing. You know, I do think it would be kind of cool, but kind of weird if, like, I'm sitting on the couch watching the TV. And then I go to get, and it's like front, well, not the TV, the goggles, but like, I get up to like go to the bathroom, and it's like you're like walking in the arena, or like walking up the stairs in the arena.
No, I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be like, you're just going to be in a stationary view.
Yeah, no, I know. I they're not going to evolve it that much.
Oh, no, it'd be pretty cool if you could do that, but I mean, I don't think they would ever go to that extent. I don't think anybody who...
Because that's something that could kind of get abused if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's just a pre, it's not live. unless it's not live and it's like on delay, or they, you know, like you can watch it later and then do that. I think it would be very hard for them to do it live. But that, you know, it is a cool idea. You gotta give it to Triple H for, like, at least going out of, you know, like, saying, hey, maybe we could, you know, do something like this. Maybe this could be kind of interesting.
I just hope it's a plan that they could actually work on and not scrape it as soon as they heard Vince McMahon's magic four words that he says all the time now. I don't get it. I'm glad you knew! I'm glad you knew the four words. That's his answer to everything. I don't get it. Oh, okay, boss. Okay, we're sorry. Well, you, too bad that this guy was fucking... When this guy was fucking, what, like, a toddler, it was, like, what? Like, fucking 1950-something? Like... The war was still fucking kind of going on. I don't get virtual reality. Yeah, Vince. Yeah. we know you were like a toddler when like fucking one of the wars was going on. Yeah. Damn right. This is why I love militant gimmicks.
Jesus Christ.
Let's see here. Matt Morgan won a district office in Florida.
Who would have ever saw him as a fucking, like,
I'm not surprised.
As, like, a politician.
No, I'm not surprised. Well, I don't know if anyone knows this, but the guy has a degree in public speaking. And he actually had like a little thing going on for to help people with ADHD.
Hmm.
So the guy is a smart fucking person. I never thought he was the greatest in-ring performer by any means, but just being able to, like, listen to him and get a gauge of, like, what he, you know, like, what his mindset is like. He's a fucking intelligent, likable person in that regards. So, you know what? Hey, good for him. I'm kind of glad to see wrestlers branch out and something like that, because that's good publicity for wrestlers. Like, guys like him, guys like Kane, guys like Rhino, who are, like, in the political field, guys like Jesse Ventura, that's doing shit the right way sometimes. You know, because it makes wrestlers look more than just, oh, they're a bunch of brain-dead fucking jocks who fucking die when they're 40. No, they're actual fucking intelligent human beings that have an understanding and their capability to do more in, like, the fucking political infrastructure, as opposed to, oh, yeah, I'm just gonna go open a Shawnee's, or, you know, I'm retired now, so I'm gonna do a podcast. No, they could do more. Wrestlers can do more. Not all of them, but a good part of them. Before I don't want to end the show with this, but that's why I saved the one piece of news for last. Because before we get into that, we should have done this at the top of the show, but I just, you know, on behalf of KTR, we sent our thoughts, prayers, and condolences to everyone that was injured and mentally and physically scarred from the shootings in Texas that happened earlier this week. You know, it's fucking terrible to hear that there's a fucking decline in, you know, in, like, the safety and the whereabouts of, you know, crazy maniacs lurking around just needing
especially
to do something terrible.
The car attack on Halloween as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, it's crazy. I mean, kudos to WWE for, you know, doing their show in Manchester, and that was the site of a major terrorist attack about a half a year ago.
Yeah, wasn't it at the what concert was that? Was that Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so wherever you go, it's dangerous. People want to terrorize. People, they want to drive us apart, and they want to scare the shit out of us, and it's a crazy world we live in, but we can't let them win.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's just, if there's anything to do in this country, I would love if, like, Donald Trump were to be active on trying to fucking somehow find a way to lower fucking crime rate. I mean, it's impossible. It's impossible. But, you know what? Right now, with everything else going on, this seems like this is becoming more of an issue. You know, to keep the ball rolling, I didn't get a chance yet, but I'm probably gonna do it after I get this show up on the server. Did you get the chance to watch the Ric Flair 30 for 30 yet?
No, I didn't. I've heard bits and pieces about it. He came out to a doctor and he said that he would have over 10 drinks every night. There's other bits and pieces. I'm gonna actually try and look up most of the.
I mean, man, you know what, man? Like, I really think with this thing with Flair, like the whole drinking thing, it's like can we kind of admit maybe. You know, I don't know. I'm just thinking for the sake of this fucking guy. I think maybe it's time to have someone, I don't know, try to get this guy into a rehab. Because clearly this is a guy that he's having a serious control problem. That's what it's starting to sound like to me.
Yeah, and there was a lot in it that was, you know, like, and then Triple H, they got him on a quote, and he said,
You what?
You can't really trust Flair when he tells you stuff. He was saying Ric Flair, he said he's a consummate liar. He only just wants to tell you what he tells you what he wants you to hear. So yeah. There's a lot of stuff in here that's, you know, like, it's a lot of like the wrestlers just basically saying like he's kind of like everything you see him being happy-go-lucky is not, he's not a very happy person. Like he's obviously has a lot of problems.
You know what?
Why he drinks so much.
You know when I realized it, and I know I've told the story of last year at Extreme Rules when he was just fucking drinking most of the day. Before the fucking pay-per-view, I realized this even before. That show, Wife Swap, they did an episode a few years ago with, or it was a complete wrestler's edition, with Roddy Piper and his wife Kitty, and Ric Flair and his, at the time girlfriend, now fiance, the maid from WCW. Oh, what the I forgot her name. Damn it, what the hell is her name? She was the maid. She would come out during the spin the wheel and make the deal stuff. Wendy Barlow, that's it. Yeah, there you go. But what the hell was her name in WCW? Fuck. I'm blanking, but, you know, they did a wife swap. Fifi the maid, that's it. So, yeah, they did a wife swap, and, like, you saw, like, when he was with Fifi. When Flair was with Kitty, like, well, Piper was kind of, like, calm. He's, like, a homebody, kind of, and Fifi was more like, oh, you know, Flair is so exciting, and Piper's so calm, and it's so weird, and then, like, Kitty's like, just like, hey, Rick, can we just like stay home, whatever? And Rick's like, no, we're gonna go out and drink, woo! And you know, you see, like, he's in the bar and he's like buying people drinks, and in a show where it's supposed to be or was supposed to be about like the communication between, you know, women and men, and, you know, like what the man needs to do to the wife to make their relationship better on each end, turns from a show like that to we're all trying to console Ric Flair, who's crying because he realized that his time has passed and he's like petrified of people forgetting who he is. So Ric Flair is dealing with a large fucking like crisis going on. A lot of it has to do with his son passing too. I do think that like if you lose your child and you're drinking or you're pretty much an alcoholic, it's not easier than, you know, you just having a natural addiction to it. It's less convincing to someone that has a problem where, you know, they lose a family member, they lose a kid, as opposed to, well, this is just, it's just in my genes, or, you know, oh, you know, I just love to have a good time. So, I think Flair might need extra help from every end of the spectrum, from his daughter, his now fiance, etc., to really try to help this guy fucking...
Honestly, yeah, because... Apparently, they went of his backstory. Obviously, he was adopted, and to this day, I still don't think he knows who his birth parents are. He from what it read, his adopted family was very disappointed with him because of a lot of his lifestyle choices. It said he was arrested for when he was like 13 or 14 because he tried to buy alcohol. A lot of stuff in his life, in his early life, he was unhappy. He talked a lot about his training with Vern Gagne. He said that they would run the ropes so much that their arms would be completely torn up, and he said that they would take at least 1,000 bumps every day. So it could be a lot of that, the trauma from that, from his childhood, losing a child. A lot of people think, yeah, Ric Flair is, you know, happy-go-lucky, you know, kiss stealing, you know, wheeling dealing, son of a gun. But you know, the guy, he's, you know, that's a character. That's not the actual like Richard Flair, you know.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's sad because you know we did this whole diatribe like last week where like I was making light, and trust me, people, I was making... Obviously, I was not being fucking real when I was saying everyone was a piece of shit in the 80s. The truth of that is, a lot of the wrestlers in the 80s didn't do a lot of redeeming things to make themselves look like good people. Flair is one of those confusing cases where you could say, oh yeah, Flair's a piece of shit. Or you could say, well, Flair has so much fucking back damage. Like, and I don't mean like a physical back, like his actual back. I mean like back, like damage from the backstory of who he was from the day of birth to now. There's just so much fucking problems with the guy's life that I feel like people are getting caught up with the person himself, and no one's really acknowledging, hey, we have a problem here. It is really, in my opinion, he is on the level of what Jake and Scott were, but at like an earlier stage of it. And I feel like the fact that he's almost 70, it could just get worse and worse and worse until someone does something now. And you know what? I don't want to see this guy fucking die, unfortunately, from liver poisoning, you know?
And you know what the thing is? He has... Like, you notice a lot of these wrestlers have really fucked up, like, backgrounds. Jake with his father, Ric Flair with his family, and what the shit he went through. I mean, if you go through a lot of these wrestlers, like, there's not a lot of positive shit happening in their early lives. And it's kind of sad to, like, at a certain point, you know, like, these guys, like, we grew up with, everyone knows who Ric Flair is, you know, everybody knows who Jake the Snake is, and you could add Macho Man to it, and I mean, probably not as bad, like, an overall, like, life with him, but, I mean, you know, like, a lot of the shit that happened with Miss Elizabeth, you know, with that, and... You look at Hogan now. It's like it's all of them are kind of just sad, like you know, like all kind of like tragic. You know, even you could look at Hogan. I mean, as much as we were joking about it, like, isn't it kind of sad that he has no one now? Isn't that just a little bit sad?
Oh yeah. Like, hey, dude, like, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, we were making a joke out of a situation, but it doesn't mean we're like, haha, fuck you, Hogan. No, we're acknowledging that there is a fucking problem. There is a genuine problem here that Hogan and, you know, and all these people have declined from being the stars that they were and the money that they had to, oh, look, they're at the bottom of the list. We don't wish fucking bad on anyone. It's just like, it's like, man, if the mania fallen.
It's just, they have, like, a lot of them are kind of have no one. It's just, yeah, it's sad depressing. To see somebody like that. It's like, it's not like they're gonna, like, you see how many wrestlers, and it's just like, is it just the fate of, like, people in the, like, the wrestling industry to just,
and it's the reason why, like,
broken alone or something. It's just like you see so many.
This is why, like I'm sorry.
No, but I mean, you look at like guys like Kamala. I mean, it's not even just that. It's like you have people like Kamala that are like fucking completely broken, like destitute, and the guy has no fucking legs. And it's like you see so many people, and like why are all these people like just broken and alone?
This is why, like, before when I was mentioning, like, all the wrestlers that, you know, merged into politics, you know what? It's like, that's why I'm all for it, 100%. That's why if a wrestler would ever fucking make it to where, hey, let's vote for them in Jersey, I fucking campaign the shit out of it for the sake of the good it would come for the wrestling business. It makes the wrestling business look good. It helps break the trend of, here is people, and it's different from, like, Linda McMahon running as opposed to fucking Rhino, because a guy like him has this reputation from a business of, oh, we're, like I said before, we're a bunch of meatheads falling on each other, fucking falling on fucking concrete, and, you know, bashing our fucking faces into the fucking ring posts and steel chairs and shit, getting concussions. It looks good when guys merge into fucking politics, have the knowledge to fucking know the difference between, you know, the left wing, right wing, you know, libertarian, whatever the fuck, Democratic, Republic parties. It's good when people have that knowledge to break out of that, as opposed to exploiting the fact that they had personal demons, that they still have personal demons, that they have back problems, backstory problems of with their family and their parents. Like, Vince McMahon, we make a lot of jokes about him, and he had a very fucked up childhood. He had a very fucked up upbringing. His dad, Vince Sr., left his mom, and his stepfather beat the shit out of him and his mom. To where Vince Jr. wanted to fight his fucking stepfather, and eventually left that family to live with his dad, and then he became a wrestling promoter.
Do you think that the reason that he put a lot of these guys over, I mean, Flair is over anyway, even outside of WCW, but I mean, like, for the most part, do you think he put as many of these guys over because he kind of sympathized with them?
Oh, absolutely.
Because he saw, that's what I'm kind of getting from this. Like, he saw the same kind of upbringing and the same kind of problems. Like, we were joking. I was joking about this before, but it makes even more sense. He's just as fucked up and fractured as his psyche was. He could sense it with the guys that he was booking, the guys he was putting over. Do you think he understood that, and the reason he put as many of these guys over was because, in a weird way, he was kind of putting himself over because he saw himself and all these guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like when the guy was on his A-game as a promoter, I definitely feel like, yeah, there was a lot of business sense and a lot of things between say your prayers, take your vitamins, all that. Vince somehow saw more in the human being. That's why a guy like Mick Foley eventually, although he didn't have a shitty upbringing to a lot of our knowledge, he had a decent childhood. I definitely think, though, he sympathized with the idea of here was a guy that no one saw as being this fucking person. He saw what the fans saw in the sense of here's a guy that could fucking gravitate and connect with the audience because Mick Foley was someone that was like them. And then you saw the backstory. Vince saw the backstory of a lot of these people where this guy, Flair, had a little bit of a similar upbringing to where I could sympathize or empathize with him to where let me give him the ball and run with it because I don't want to say Vince felt bad for people. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. Here's your, I'll make it up to you. I think it was more of, I feel your pain. Let's have a working relationship with each other. So, yeah, I definitely could see that.
I kind of just see it like as he was just put, because you know what, he did that a lot in the early, if you notice a lot of his early gimmicks and shit were all stuff that were basically him. Like, obviously, Ted DiBiase was him, a little bit of Trump during that time, but it was mostly him. You know, like, you know how they say, like, you, a lot of these, like wrestling gimmicks are 10% idea and 90% someone's actual personality. And, I think overall, I think a lot of the early 80s, I think, was different facets of his actual personality. Like, the whole workout, you know, like the whole workout thing, and that got him into trouble with the steroids later on down the road. I think that was, you know, like during the 80s, I think that was the Hogan gimmick. I think he was taking pieces of his own personality and mixing it in with different wrestlers that he saw himself in. Hogan was one facet of his personality, and Ted DiBiase was another, and Andre was, you know, his feeling of superiority that he was the boss and he towers over everyone else. Jake was, you know, his fucked up background and his, you know, his feeling of being holier than thou. I think a lot of it was, and as like I was joking before, I think he was doing this. I think he was taking different parts of his psyche and manifesting them as these different gimmicks.
Yeah, it's very, you know, it sure as hell is one of the more analytical and intellectual things that a lot of people don't really bring up, you know, in this period of fucking podcasting and everything with wrestling. No one really analyzes, and we're going to fucking toot our horn here. No one fucking analyzes what really goes on in the head of Vince McMahon, and it is the truth. You know, that here is a huge fucking list of characters. Oh, again, a lot, not like, I don't think Vince related to Dwight the Clown or Papa Shango, but he sure as hell.
There's several things that keep coming up. There's, you know, like certain aspects of certain characters that, like, keep popping up no matter what.
Like, you know what it's like? You know what it's almost like, let's take a music artist. Let's take a guy like David Bowie. And I'm going to use him because I've gauged out what the guy has gone through. Okay? I'm going to dissect the song. The one, I don't know the. I think it was called Tis a Pity, but it's really the song Black Star. It is a 10-minute song. He had a line in there, and then in his music video, there's this line in there, said, "Take your flash in the pan, I am the great that I am." And he does the little, like, the nose gesture where he puts his thumb on his nose and, like, you know, like, flickers his fingers. you know, as like the silly ha-ha thing. That was a direct line of, I had a feeling in the 70s that I was going to be no more than a flash in the pan or have a one-hit wonder, and I showed you all wrong, and I had a career for myself. Music artists love to reflect on the emotions and the pain that they feel, and that's exactly what Vince did with a lot of his characters.
But it's like, if you notice, there's certain thematic things that he does in characters and storylines that continue to be done nearly every decade. Every decade he goes to the same well for certain, and it's, I mean, not that I think he's a creative genius
I'm glad you said that. I was just going to say that. No, he's not.
I think he something keeps coming out. I think he needs to express certain aspects of his own ideas, and I think overall, I think it's parts of his own mind that he keeps delving into when he creates a lot of these characters. If you want to go and you look at a lot of the thematic elements over the years, it's a lot of it is internal squabbling with his own family, emasculation, it's usually, this is a theme that's been done numerous times. So it's usually him and Shane fighting, which could be a symbolization of him and his stepfather fighting. Creepy enough, and this is actually, and weirdly enough, this is a theme that can kind of continues to happen throughout, the writing and usually his idea. Incest is weirdly something that comes up a lot in his ideas and his writing. Do you think he was abused when he was a kid?
You took the words out of my mouth. You know what? We made the joke before earlier, could you picture Vince in a psychiatrist's office? Or, could you have, it's amazing how this episode kind of came full circle here. I really feel like that this guy, picture like going in a psychiatrist's office and saying, all these experiences. Yeah, I do think maybe he was abused. I mean, there's a reason this came out. It's not, this could draw money or whatever. I got a feeling too, this is a little deep saying this. I think Vince may have confided to Vince Russo for a lot of shit, to where Vince Russo saw, God damn it, I see a lot of things that's wrong with Vince McMahon, the person. And I really, even the name Vinnie Lupton. I think he saw something in Vince that went, is this going to draw money? I don't know. But sure as hell, there is something that happened with Vince McMahon, the person, that fucking somehow made its way onto the fucking camera. And is it wrong? Oh, fuck yeah, it's wrong. This isn't shit we want to see as fans. But there is something deeply wrong with the guy, or was deeply wrong with the guy. That, blur it out. I'm gonna cap it off at this. Was Vince McMahon a creative genius? No. But you know what I will say? I genuinely mean this. What was Vince McMahon? An artist. He was an artist that expressed his fucking pains and deep concerns and thoughts and whatever torture that he had wrong with him. He put it out on a canvas, no pun intended, much like any other musical artist, actual artist that does artwork, drawings, whatever. Vince McMahon is an artist. And he has painted pictures out within a 20 by 20 ring. within his own deep, you know, cognitive issues, dilemmas, whatever. He put out whatever he was thinking. For the most, a lot of times he wasn't. It was a lot of, hey, let's be happy-go-lucky. Let's try to make money, you know, and appease kids and families or even adults of, like, hey, let's come out and see fucking hot bikini models and all that. Because the guy loves women, too. So, you know, he is putting out a little fantasy. I mean, you know, he's a fucking multimillionaire. He's not a billionaire. He's a multimillionaire. He's barely a billionaire. And he puts his fantasies out there because, you know, why the fuck not? You own the company. That's what people could fucking do sometimes. You have the power, you're going to abuse it. But anyway, I feel like that's the note we're going to leave off this week. But before we do, is there anything you want to touch on or you think we covered all bases?
I think we covered everything.
Okay. Well, with that, find an outro, and I'll.
We got one other thing. Sorry about that. Jey Uso's injury.
We're gonna leave with that.
We didn't bring that up.
You know what? It is unfortunate, man. The Usos right now are at an all-time career high, and we didn't even mention that the tag titles got changed on Monday.
Oh, really?
It was wacky. They did Rollins and Ambrose against Cesaro and Sheamus, and the New Day came out.
Sheamus did when they
and the New Day did their weird promo where Raw did nothing. But it's setting up to the fucking Shield against the New Day. You know what, man? It's gonna be a fucking good match.
I would be more inclined to see the New Day versus the Bar, to be honest.
Sure. I get that, but I don't know. I still think it's going to be. I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic, I guess you could say. I don't know. I'm someone that likes to see interesting personalities against interesting personalities. Like, I can't say I'm not intrigued for Brock Lesnar and AJ Styles. I can't say I'm not. Because it's a clash of things that you wouldn't want to see. Like, smarky dream matches are what they are. They're fucking awesome. But at the same time, too, I like little dream. I like little shit of, like, I don't know, a Braun Strowman against a Nakamura. Like, styles that normally you wouldn't see go against each other. You know, whatever, man. But, you know, Jey Uso and Sakara, I guess they might have minor injuries. But hopefully everything is okay. You never know. So I guess we'll find out within next week if it's real or if it's shoot or not. But anyway, find us an outro and I'll get some plugs out. So, good friend of the show, Chad Flatt of the Pro Wrestling Weekly. You can find it at thefanspodcast.com. Wrestling Soup. They did an earlier show last week, so usually they are 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mixler, and if you can't catch them live, you can catch them on the downloads, you know, generally Friday mornings on iTunes. Stitcher's been wacky for them. I honestly, they've been good with us, and I'm not trying to brag, but, you know, there needs to be something up. Okay, next up we got, Twitter. At EricTheRed211, JR Earl's Art on Twitter, and then Mr. Underscore Bonesaw for all your gripes and complaints on the show. And then Facebook.com/KFabeTalkRadio. Search us on YouTube. Show us some love. Get the subscribe button. you know, please like it. And we got a lot of different content on there, and we're trust me, we're eventually going to add some more shit. And as the weeks and, you know, months come ahead, we're getting closer to KTR 100. So we're going to plan something big. You know, it's going to be a joint conversation between me, Pat, Earls, and all that. And I also have something myself I'm working on that I don't want to give away in case plans fall through. But, you know, there's a lot of shit that's going to come apart in 2018 for KTR. So be on the lookout. And, you know, just for yours truly and Mr. Bonesaw, till next time, keep it kayfabe. See you next week. I'm alive and I'm second to way. The name for it. Your intention is to pass and then pay for it. Yeah. That's why this kid's on top.